This is a passage from Faulkner's Go Down Moses. This is The Bear, Part 4, pages 282 to 284. All right, go on. And their virtues? And he. Yes, their own, endurance. And McCaslin, so have mules, and he. And pity, and tolerance, and forbearance, and fidelity, and love of children. And McCaslin, so have dogs, and he. Whether their own or not, or black or not. And more. What they got not only not from white people, but not even despite white people, because they had it already from the old free fathers, a longer time free than us, because we have never been free. And it was in McCaslin's eyes, too. He had only to look at McCaslin's eyes, and it was there, that summer twilight 7 years ago, almost a week after they had returned from the camp, before he discovered that Sam Fathers had told McCaslin, an old bear, fierce and ruthless, not just to stay alive, but ruthless with the fierce pride of liberty and freedom, jealous and proud enough of liberty and freedom to see it threatened, not with fear, not even alarm, but almost with joy, seeming deliberately to put it into jeopardy in order to savor it, and keep his old strong bones and flesh supple and quick to defend and preserve it. An old man, son of a Negro slave and an Indian king, inheritor on the one hand of the long chronicle of a people who had learned humility through suffering and learned pride through the endurance which survived the suffering, and on the other side the chronicle of a people even longer in the land than the first, yet who now existed there only in the solitary brotherhood of an old and childless Negro's alien blood and the wild and invincible spirit of an old bear. A boy who wished to learn humility and pride in order to become skillful and worthy in the woods, but found himself becoming so skillful so fast that he feared he would never become worthy because he had not learned humility and pride, though he had tried. Until one day an old man, who could not have defined either, led him as though by the hand to where an old bear and a little mongrel dog showed him that, by possessing one thing other, he would possess them both. And the little dog, nameless and mongrel and many-fathered, grown yet weighing less than 6 pounds, who couldn't be dangerous because there was nothing anywhere much smaller, not fierce because that would have been called just noise, not humble because it was already too near the ground to genuflect, and not proud because it would not have been close enough for anyone to discern what was casting that shadow, and which didn't even know it was not going to heaven, since they had already decided it had no immortal soul, so that all it could be was brave, even though they would probably call that too just noise. "And you didn't shoot," McCaslin said. "How close were you?" "I don't know," he said. "There was a big wood tick just inside his off hind leg. I saw that, but I didn't have the gun then." "But you didn't shoot when you had the gun," McCaslin said. "Why?" But McCaslin didn't wait, rising and crossing the room across the pelt of the bear he had killed 2 years ago, and the bigger one McCaslin had killed before he was born, to the bookcase beneath the mounted head of his first buck, and returned with the book and sat down again and opened it. "Listen," he said. He read the 5 stanzas aloud and closed the book on his finger and looked up. "All right," he said. "Listen," and read again, but the only 1 stanza this time, and closed the book and laid it on the table. "She cannot fade, though thou hast not thy bliss," McCaslin said. "Forever wilt thou love, and she be fair." "He's talking about a girl," he said. "He had to talk about something," McCaslin said. Then he said, "He was talking about truth. Truth is one. It doesn't change. Covers all things which touch the heart. Honor and pride and pity and justice and courage and love. Do you see now?" He didn't know. Somehow it had been simpler than that, simpler than someone talking in a book about a young man and a girl he would never need to grieve over because he could never approach any nearer and would never have to get any further away. He had heard about an old bear and finally got big enough to hunt it, and he had hunted it 4 years and at last met it with a gun in his hands and he didn't shoot because of a little dog. But he could have shot long before the fice covered the 20 yards to where the bear waited, and Sam Fathers could have shot any time during the interminable minute while old Ben stood on his hind legs over them. He ceased. McCaslin watched him, still speaking, the voice, the words as quiet as the twilight itself was. "Courage and honor and pride, and pity and love of justice and of liberty, they all touch the heart, and what the heart holds to becomes truth, as far as we know truth. Do you see now?" And he could still hear them, intact in this twilight as in the 1 7 years ago. No louder still, because they did not need to be, because they would endure. And he had only to look at McCaslin's eyes beyond the thin and bitter smiling, the faint lip lift which would have had to be called smiling. His kinsman, his father almost, who had been born too late into the old time and too soon for the new, the two of them juxtaposed and alien now to each other against their ravaged patrimony, the dark and ravaged fatherland still prone and panting from its etherless operation.